Well, good morning, and so glad that you are here. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to say a special welcome to any of our guests, whether in person or online. We want to welcome you, and so we would love to connect with you in one of a couple ways. There's a card in the pew back in front of you. You can fill that information out, or you can go to website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says, I'm new, and you can fill that information out. Helps us know who's here with us, how we might be able to connect with you and serve you. And so grateful that you've chosen to be with us. Well, I'm excited about today and looking forward to our time together. And want to make you aware of a couple things that are happening in the life of our church. First of all, let me really encourage you, especially we have our family business meeting tonight at 5 o'clock. And so I really want to encourage all of our members as much as you can. We have several that are out of town for various reasons or not feeling well, different things, a lot of things going on this time of year. And so tonight at 5 o'clock, we have our family business meeting, and we're talking about some really exciting things, voting on some things. One in particular, looking to add a couple of men to our group of deacons. And so that happens tonight at 5 o'clock. So if you would, please make it a priority as best you can to come be here tonight at 5 o'clock for our business meeting. We have concluded our Wednesday night activities for the time being on Wednesday nights. This past week had a fun time of celebration, so just make sure you're aware of that. We're looking forward to Vacation Bible School coming up. It's going to begin on June 4th and go through the 8th. That's not a typo. We are starting on Sunday night this year, and that's with reason and purpose. And so just trying something a little bit different this year, but we're going to start on a Sunday night, June 4th, and go all the way through Thursday night. And so want to encourage you. We've pushed all the information through email or on our social media. And so for those kids, grandkids, those in your neighborhood, all that sort of thing, if you'll help encourage people to go ahead and start getting registered for that. Deidre and Michelle have done a great job working to get us prepared and lined up for that. And so if you have any questions about Vacation Bible School, you can ask either one of them, and they'll certainly help you with that. And that's really, those are some of the main things that are happening right now. We do have an offering that's going on for our Pregnancy Crisis Center and support of that. And so that's where the baby bottles that are sitting around are available. If you want to take one of those and collect change or give in some way toward that, we will collect that on Father's Day. And so looking forward to that. And then also, you're well aware we have our mission team that is preparing to go to Ghana at the end of next month. It's not very far away. And so we just ask you to keep praying for us, praying for all the things that leading up to that and so on and so forth. And so just encourage you to watch your bulletin and your emails. We try to send out information and keep you updated as much as we can about various activities, various things that are happening and going on in the life of our church. And so grateful, looking forward to today, looking forward to sharing with you this morning. This morning I was reading in my quiet time and wanted to share with you from the book of Psalms just this incredible reminder as we get ready to prepare this morning to sing unto the Lord from Psalm 107. And Psalm 107, it's easy to pick out and find what the theme of Psalm 107 is, because it's about giving thanks. And so this morning, as I'm just preparing for today and this morning in worship, I just want to remind you that as we sing this morning, would you just sing? I want to encourage you to ask God to help you sing from a heart of thanksgiving. Listen to what Psalm 107 says. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. By the way, that's us this morning. Let us thank God. Let us celebrate who He is and what He's done, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty, their soul faint. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distress. Verse 8 says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." It's not that we're saying that we haven't had some bumps and some heartaches and some difficulties along life's path, but it's that we're going to declare this morning that God has been good to us. God has been gracious. God has spared us from some things. And so I just want to encourage you this morning that we would be careful to give thanks unto the Lord this morning. So if you will you bow your head and close your eyes with me, and let's just take just a moment and do just that. Take a moment and let's thank God. Take a moment and say, "Thank you, God, for breath in my lungs this morning, for a sound mind, for the opportunity to be here." Would you just spend time thanking God for who He is and for what He's done? Lord, we come to You this morning. God, some really excited and bright-eyed and looking forward to, man, just how good You've been to us. And some maybe even this morning just struggling. Life's been hard and difficult. But God, we recognize, God, You've been good to us. And so, Lord, we want to thank You. Thank You for Your goodness and grace. Thank You for how You've worked in our lives. Thank You for the opportunity to be here. Thank You for the privilege to see another day. Thank You for the privilege to worship You this morning in a country that allows us this freedom. Lord, thank You for all that You've done. And I pray as we sing this morning, we would sing with a heart of thankfulness and gratitude. And we would celebrate You and celebrate what You've done in our lives. And Lord, we pray and ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Be Thou my vision. Stand and sing with us.
Treasure Thou art. Holy, holy, holy.
Well, amen. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, you turn to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter and chapter 5. Over the next couple weeks, I want to today begin a series that I'm calling Truth for Life. And really, what I plan to do is to take these next few weeks and share a few nuggets of truth with you, if you will, that have really helped me, that have really made a difference in my life. Now, as I have read and studied and sat under a lot of incredible preaching and teaching of the Word, fighting the sinuses and allergies this morning, so I apologize now. But I've sat under a lot of teaching and preaching. All the Word of God is good and profitable. And so I want to be careful with this of going, and all that I've been taught and preached to and learned through study, and it has all helped me. But there's been some things along the way that have seemed to be sort of special nuggets, if you will, that have really impacted my life to what I believe has helped me to walk in closer fellowship and be more obedient to the Lord. And so the next couple weeks, I want to share some of these. From 1 Peter chapter 5. And so I'm calling this series Truth for Life. Truth for Life. And so 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm going to begin in verse 5. If you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? And the Word of God says this: "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let me pray. Precious Jesus, love and adore You, and thank You for Your goodness and grace. God, I pray that we would fix our eyes on You this morning. God, teach us from Your Word. Help us to be obedient to You. God, I pray that You would use the truth today, God, to impact lives here, God, the way that You've used it in my life. And so, God, give us clarity and wisdom. I pray for anybody who's lost and doesn't know You, God, I pray that You would save them. Pray for the believer that's far from You, God, that You would restore them and encourage them. God, I pray for the saint that they would walk away encouraged and refreshed today. Lord, we love You and praise You. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Excuse me. Well, this morning I want to preach to you this message that I've titled Submit and Resist. Submit and Resist. Well, many of you are well aware, but for those of you not, I had served in Memphis for a handful of years and served under an evangelist named Ronnie Tullis. And Brother Ronnie Tullis is Southern Baptist through and through. And not long after he got saved, the Lord had directed him some different places. Well, many, many years ago, he wound up at Jimmy Swaggart Bible College, okay, before Jimmy Swaggart fell. But anyway, he wound up there and taking some courses and taking some classes and, taking some classes that he certainly, especially now, would not necessarily agree with. But at the time, he was taking this demonology course, okay, how to cast out demons, etc. He was a very young man, very early in the faith. But anyway, he and his wife were also attending. They were attending a Baptist church here close by. And so on a particular Sunday night, they had gone to church. And so he and his wife, Miss Susan, they were sitting over here on my left, your right, not far from the pulpit. And so they had just begun service. And as they had started service, a gentleman from the back enters, and he's got, man, this long trench coat and this long stringy dark hair and just looks quite the character, if you will. But he walks in, and Brother Ronnie tells a story that he came and sat down right behind him. And he said, when he sat down, he went, he said, and man, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. And he said they had been going through service, and he said the pastor was teaching or preaching, and this gentleman stood up in the middle of the service, and the pastor recognized him, and he said, sir, need you to sit down? He said, man, the guy standing said, I'm Jesus, and I have something to say. And the pastor goes, sir, and I'll visit with you after the service, sit down. But I'm Jesus, and I have something to say. He said, sir, we can talk after the service, but for right now, I need you to sit down. And he said it again. And Ronnie said, well, it was in North Louisiana, and so the university there at Monroe, the head football coach was sitting just about the second pew just to his right, and his son, who was a senior at the local high school, the starting quarterback, was sitting right next to him. And so he called out to the coach and said, hey, coach, can you escort this gentleman back to my office? And as soon as I'm done, I'll come back and visit with him. And so, sure enough, he escorted him back to the office. Well, Brother Ronnie had been going through this demonology course. And so he looked at his wife and with full confidence said, Susan, I'm going back there to the preacher's office. That man's demon-possessed. I'm going to cast the demon out of that boy. And so Ronnie got up and went back there. Well, when he got back there, the man was sitting behind in the pastor's chair behind the desk. And so the story goes that Ronnie walked up to this man sitting across the desk, and he walked right in the room, and he goes, listen, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of him. He said, that boy stood up, reached across that table, and hit me dead in the jaw. He said, and I fell out. He said, he jumped on top of me. And he said the football coach had always heard the demons couldn't stand the blood of Jesus. And so he wrapped the guy up by the legs, and he's screaming, blood of Jesus, and I'm commanding in the name of Jesus. And he said out front was the football, the quarterbacks. And he said the coach's son passed out because they could hear all the commotion going on back in the pastor's office. Ronnie said, I was fully convinced that gentleman was demon-possessed. Even they had many interactions with him later. He said, but God taught him this truth from 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. And the end of the verse says this. It says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Listen to me, church, this morning there's a lot of false teaching about demons and our power and all these sorts of things. And we're going to talk about some of that this morning, about being under the attack of the enemy and all these kinds of things. But this is what I need you to get. I need you to hear the truth that Brother Ronnie learned that day. See, the verse does not say, greater am I because he's in me. Okay, listen. It says, but greater is he, God, that is in me than he that is in the world. As we talk about this morning, this is what I need you to understand. The enemy has power. The enemy has some dominion. He has some authority. But listen carefully. Man, lean in. Let me have your eyes this morning just as you need to hear this truth. The enemy is a created enemy, and he is under the power of God. God has allowed him some power, but I need you to hear this morning, that any power that the enemy has is allowed power by God Almighty. Okay? So the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And see, what Ronnie said he learned that day is he walked in and he spoke as if Ronnie had authority, but Ronnie doesn't have any authority. Any authority that Ronnie has or we have as believers is through the power of God, not ourselves. That makes sense? And so this morning, I want to talk to you about submit and resist. And I know some of you may be a little bit wide-eyed this morning. Oh, man, where's the preacher going in this morning? But here's what I need to talk to you about. Man, have you ever been, maybe even like we had this morning, just, man, singing about the holiness of God, fixing our eyes on Jesus, man, just in these moments, these sort of holy moments, and have you ever had these moments where, man, I know some of you are going to see how honest you are this morning, some of these most wicked thoughts, or wicked things pop up that, man, they as far as you could tell, hadn't been within 100 miles of anything you've thought about, looked at, plan, nothing, but some of these most wicked things. Or you ever just woke up in the morning or walked into a room and all of a sudden you're just in the worst of moods. And I know, man, listen, I get it. You're really spiritual this morning. You don't deal with this, okay? I'm a little therapy for me this morning. I'm just getting it out, okay? But you ever had those moments where, man, you're just in the worst of mood, or, man, something happens and all of a sudden you're in this and going, man, where did that thought come from? Where did this thing come from? And all this sort of thing. Here's the reality that we need to understand. And I realize there's a line. We need to be really careful. There's a lot of false prophets and false teaching. But the reality is this, and we're going to see this morning, that the enemy is alive and well. And for believers, he cannot. He doesn't have the ability to snatch you from the jaws of eternal life. He can't have snatch you from the hand of God. But as a believer, he can do all he can to disrupt you, to adjust your course. He can do all that he's going to do all that he can to hinder your witness, to hinder you from being obedient to the will and the plan of God. And so this morning I want to preach to you from this text and talk to you about submitting and resisting. And it's for the purpose of that you and I, when we recognize those moments, that we know how we can handle those according to the Word of God. Does that make sense? Everybody okay? Amen. Hopefully no preachers get hit in the jaw today. That's what I'm hoping for, all right? And so 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. The main idea of the text is this: God has given us weapons for a tactical position of defense. He has given us some clarity about the Scripture. The Scripture says you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. My hope is that we are reminded, or we are introduced to some new truth this morning that will help us walk faithfully with him. And then the question of the text is this: is how do you handle attacks from the enemy? How do you handle attacks from the enemy? Again, these moments, I know it's sort of rhetorical up here, but if you've been in those positions where, man, it's these attack, man, just feel like the weight is this, man, there's just this weight on you and it doesn't seem to make sense. You know, some of you are spiritual this morning go, man, I've never dealt with that or whatever. Well, good. Here in our first point, we're going to talk about pride and humility. And just jump right off in there, okay? And so there's three truths I want us to work toward, and at the end be able to process what this means. So number one, win the war with humility. Win the war with humility. Okay, so let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 5 here. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. No senior saints wanted to amen right there. Just amen. Amen. Listen, I can't help you any more than that, all right? So, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Boy, this idea of submission isn't a popular word in today's culture, right? This idea of submitting to folks, submitting to one another. And man, Scripture's full of it, man, the Bible tells submit to one another, that man, we ought to submit to each other, and knowing what we need spiritually, knowing what we need physically, and helping and coming alongside one another. But Peter begins here, likewise, let your younger people submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so here's what we need to do. Man, Peter's talking about, man, this need for submission, and not only younger submitting to elder, but follows it up and says, man, we ought to submit to everybody. We ought to look about for the best needs of those around us. And why does he deal with submission? Because he's going to deal with humility and pride and the issue of pride as we deal with this. And so it's important for us. Here's the reality. You can't submit to God until you're willing to submit to those in authority and those in and around your life that you ought to be submitting to. I knew I wouldn't get an amen there. Listen, whenever I went to Mid-America, when I first went, contrary to popular belief, required, Brother Dennis, a suit and tie every day. All right, required a tie, coat was encouraged. put one on, all right, was the idea. And so every day, Monday through Thursday, I know this really surprised you, I had a coat and tie on, okay? Had a tie at least, but coat most days. Well, there was a lot of murmuring about, man, having to wear a tie, and all this sort of thing. And always got under my skin because when you went and visited with school, you knew that Mid-America, this was one of the requirements of Mid-America. And so my position was that if you didn't want to do it, did I particularly love it? No, but I knew it before I signed up. And so here we are. So anyway, time went along and word had gotten out that they were maybe getting ready to get rid of the tie. They're going to cut the tie, okay? And because there would be guys that would show up and they wouldn't have a tie and there were certain other requirements about dress socks or whatever it was, you know, and you would look around and there'd be a handful of guys week in and week out that just would not follow the requirement of wearing a tie or encouraged to wear a coat. Well, sure enough, they decided to cut the tie. Well, you know what happened after they cut the tie? They went more business casual. Okay? Do you think those same guys followed the new dress code? No. Why? Because it was never about a tie. It was about an issue of the heart. It was about being prideful, not willing to submit to authority. And listen, I'll be honest with you. I agree with one of my professors who said this about some of those guys. I wouldn't let those guys lead in silent prayer. Some of y'all catch that after church. I know that's come back here, all right? Why? Because it's an issue of the heart, submission. We don't like to talk about the word submission much in our culture. But here Peter's emphasizing this point. If you and I, we can't submit to one another. We can't love one another. We can't submit to the authority around us. Kids, you can't submit to your parents. Man, listen, those employees, you can't submit to your boss. You can't submit to the, you're not going to be walking in right relationship with the Lord. It's just impossible because it's an issue of pride. Listen to what the scripture says here at the end of verse 5. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God is turned off by pride. It's an abomination to Him. It's repulsive to Him. And here's the reality. We're going to talk about the reality of that when you and I are under attack, whenever we're facing attacks from the enemy, we are overwhelmed and left our own devices. We will get our lunch eat every day of the week and twice on Sunday. And so we're going to need help. We're going to need the Lord and the power of God. And we can't call out and ask God for His power and His authority and Him to work whenever we're full of pride. Because when we're full of pride, we won't see that we need help, or we won't be willing to admit it. And so the beginning is you win the war with humility. Verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Dear friend, you and I better be exceptionally careful that we don't get so full of ourselves that we think we don't need God. Or that we know better than God. We have a better plan than God does. This is a good word for us today that you and I need to be careful that we humbly submit ourselves to the Lord every single day. The reality is the tendency of our flesh is to well up and to become prideful, to think that we know better, we have a better plan, we don't need help, let me pull my bootstraps up and just get tougher. Well, the reality is that we are in desperate need of God. Micah 6:8 says, He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. By the way, there's no other way to walk with God. The only way to walk with the Lord is to walk humbly, to be overwhelmed by His holiness, to have a sense of awe and reverence of the majesty and the glory of God. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. echoing 1 Peter 5. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you," here's the definition of humility, here's how we combat pride, "to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Listen, friend, if you have accomplished anything in your life, if I've accomplished anything in my life, if I've, man, I've gotten to any point where, man, it's just a blessing, it's only been by God's grace and mercy. It's only been by the goodness of God. And we need to do everything that we can to wage war on pride. And it is a battle every day, every moment of every day. At least it is for me. And so, man, how are you gonna get to a place where, man, you can use this truth and combat some spiritual attack on your life? It begins with humility. So you win the war with humility. Number two, win the war by being clear and alert. Need some clarity and alertness about us. Verse 7, let me pick back up there. "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." Listen, there's something about submission that has this idea of letting go. Submission has this idea of open-handedness. Pride has a closed-handedness that I'm holding on to. It's about my strength. It's about what I can do. It's about what I can keep near me. But submission and submission to the Lord is about open-handedness and giving it unto the Lord, saying, "God, I can't, but you can. God, I can't develop and continue and sustain a good marriage, but you can. God, I can't, man, do all that I need to do to serve my boss well, but you can." It's open-handedness. So this is the idea, casting all our cares upon Him, for He cares for you. One of the struggles we have in life, particularly as prideful Americans, is that we hold on to these things and we're worried about thinking, man, if I can get all these things in a row and all these things in place, I'll take care of them. But in reality, what we really need to learn is to open our hands up and let some things go and give it unto the Lord. But this being clear and alert, verse 8, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary," here it is, "the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Let's talk about this for a moment. By the way, we need to acknowledge this is very clear that there is an enemy out to get you. Part of the problem that the enemy eats our lunch with is that sometimes we're not willing to recognize that there really is an enemy. And let me remind you, he hates everything about you. He is the antithesis of the character of God. And why is it so important about humility? Because the very fall of Satan was his pride. And so he loves to prey on your pride. He loves to prey on my pride. And so here Peter lays out, says he's walking about, the devil's walking about as a roaring lion. You see, Satan is given a certain level of dominion and power that's here. And his job, Jesus said in John 10:10, he's come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And so listen to what Peter encourages you about, this idea of being clear and alert. He says in verse 8, "Be sober." The idea of being sober is that there's nothing that is hindering our faculties. Nothing is hindering our senses. It may be good for us to think about this. Think about someone who is under the influence of a narcotic or under the influence of alcohol. What happens, particularly with alcohol and most drugs, is that your senses are not heightened, but they're dulled. Your reaction time is slower. You're not as keen and as aware. You're not aware of normal things of life. You're not even aware of your body, that somebody's under the influence. They stumble. They slur their speech. There's all these things that happen when an individual is drunk or under the influence of some narcotic or alcohol. And what Peter's saying here is the exact opposite of that. Is that you and I need to be sober. And Paul would say it this way, is that he says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dispensation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some have tried to make a comparison there, but it's actually the language is there's a level of opposition. Why? Because drunkenness hinders your faculties and your senses, but being filled with the Spirit actually raises those beyond a human level to a supernatural level, to a Spirit-filled level. In which that you have a level of discernment about things that you didn't have before. You have a level of clarity about things that you didn't have before. So Peter's saying there's an enemy that's out there, but the only way we're going to realize that is we need to be sober. Yes, free of drugs and alcohol, but more than that, we need to be sober. We need to be filled with the Spirit that our mind and our faculties aren't hindered by even our own flesh. And so there are times that you and I probably have been under attack and we're not walking with the Lord, we're not filled with the Spirit, and we just think, man, we're just in a bad mood because we didn't get a good night's rest. Or that I'm angry at that individual just because, man, they messed up the way that they're supposed to make coffee. We've been making coffee the same way for 25 years and they messed it up. But the Bible says here that we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. Man, there's a level of vigilance where there's clarity. We're looking around. We can see things as they really are. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, notice what, your adversary. By the way, be sober and be vigilant. It's commanded. Participles that are carrying thrust there. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We already said that as believers, he can't impact your eternity. Not in terms of you losing it. It's not in the balance. Almighty God has that in his hand. And so the enemy can't do anything to take that away. But what he can do is he can cause you to fumble, falter, and fail in ways that hinder your testimony and cause you to miss out on the plan and purposes of God. So he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He said earlier in the previous chapter, in chapter 4, verse 7, said, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. John 8, 44, you are of the Father, the devil, and the desires of your Father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Listen, I realize this morning there's some of us maybe squirming a little bit because we don't talk a lot about this. We don't talk a lot about spiritual warfare. And I get it. I understand it. As Baptists, it makes us a little uncomfortable. But friend, just because we're maybe a little uncomfortable doesn't mean that we're, man, way off in left field here. Man, this is the Word of God that is clearly laying out that Peter's giving us some warning, but he's also giving us some truth that we can use to combat the attacks of the enemy under the power and the direction of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And so win the war with humility. Win the war by being clear and alert. And then number three, win the war by resistance. Listen to verse 9. Resist him. Pretty clear. Steadfast in the faith. That's the idea of not having wavering. Not being up and down, not back and forth, but a steadiness, a steady walk with the Lord. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. What does that mean? Man, you ever been going through something? Man, just adversity, struggle, feel like, man, just can't catch a break type stuff, or man, just terrible tragedy, or whatever the case is. And you've been in those moments, you ever been there and you feel like you're the only one in the world facing that? Man, you get in these moments and you get in these, man, quiet moments. And this is where, listen, man, we need to lean in. This is really dangerous. Because what will happen is that you'll go through adversity in your life. You'll go through some really dark, difficult days. And if you're not careful, what will happen is you'll get separated from the people of God. You'll get separated from the things of God. And you'll, next thing you know, you'll be in a dark room by yourself. And the enemy will be doing everything he can to convince you, saying, you're the only one that's ever experienced this. You're the only one going through this. Nobody cares. Nobody loves you. God is punishing you, man. And what the scripture says, he's the father of lies. And what happens? How does he do this? Man, the only power that the enemy has is the power of a lie. Do you hear that this morning? The only power that the enemy has is the power of the lie. What happens? He comes and sits on your shoulder and tells you how terrible of a person you are. He tells you how much God doesn't care about you. He tells you how much the church doesn't care about you. He tells you how much you are by your... Man, all these things, and you get to a really deep, dark, terrible place with no idea what to do. Verse 9, resist him steadfast in faith. Listen to this. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You know what the Word of God is telling you? You're not the only one going through it. You're not the only one to have ever faced that. You're not the only one that's experienced that pain and that heartache. The Lord has seen people through. So don't let the enemy lie to you. And some of you may be there this morning. You may be limped in this morning spiritually, feeling like you're the only one. Will you hear me this morning? You're not the only one going through that. The Bible says that there are other brothers and sisters all over the world. Some are facing the very same thing. Some have faced it and they found victory through Jesus. And by the grace and mercy of God, you can too. You can have victory in Him. You can have freedom in Him. Verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while... Well, that's not much encouragement, is it? You know what he's saying? You may be in a really dark season right now, and this will bless your heart right here. You may be there a minute. Just because, man, you know, you showed up church today and everything was chaos when you walked in, and just because you walk out and you sang and heard a sermon today, man, everything's going to be better. No, he's saying you could be there a minute. But listen to what he promises. If you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Do you hear the promise this morning? That if you'll steadfast in the faith, you'll resist him. You'll walk humbly with your God. You'll be sober, vigilant. What does that mean? Knowing that this attack is from the enemy and this difficult place is, man, it's hard and you're not the only one. He's saying, man, if you'll steadfast, if you'll keep walking, listen, he'll perfect you. He'll strengthen you. He'll establish you. He'll settle you. You know what that means? God's going to use it. It's not fun. Right? Hey, any parent in here that's worth their salt has seen their kid get ready to fail. And any parent that is worth their salt, and by the way, this is free parenting advice right here, okay? Any parent that is worth their salt has let their kid fail. This is one of the problems right now, right? We're not willing to let our kids fail. Your kids need some scraped up knees and some scraped up elbows, yes? Well, that was, all right, fine. I'll get out there by myself, all right? but they need some failure. Why? Because it helps them learn. We know this. We know that they often learn best in their failures. Now, us as parents, what are we supposed to do? We need to put some bumpers in there. That way the failures aren't too big, right? I wish my parents maybe had a few more bumpers. I was the youngest of older brothers, and my older brothers had no bumpers, all right? Man, they just shoved that cart right down the hill, all right? But we put bumpers in place to help them. That way the failures aren't too big. And man, listen, this is the loving kindness of God, that He sees you. He realizes it's a hard day. He realizes it's a difficult season, saint of God. But listen to me, if you'll submit to Him, you'll cast all your cares upon Him, you'll be sober, you'll be vigilant, realize it's an attack from the enemy, and stay faithful to Him, God will use it. He puts bumpers in place, and you'll come out on the side, outside of that, on the other side of it, and man, He'll strengthen you. He's perfecting your faith. He's walking alongside, and He loves you too much to not let you fail sometimes, because it helps you grow. And I get it. I hear you. Preacher, I think I'm done growing for a little while. I'll take a season of not. But He loves you too much to leave you there and walk alongside you. So, verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Why? Verse 11, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He is working something in you. And in working something in you, He certainly allows some things in our lives. And so what do we do with this? Let me share with you as I try to wrap this thing up and try to give you, my hope is in these next few moments, I want to give you a practical way to apply this in your life. Okay? So, James 4:7 again, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So, preacher, hearing this, what do we do? Because we started with, man, I'm in church and man, trying to worship the Lord, and man, just the most evil, wicked thought comes across. Or I'm driving down the road and the most evil, wicked thought comes across. And whatever, man, I just wake up and I'm just in this terrible mood and I can't get out of it, and it seems, man, beyond me, all this kind of. So what do you do? Well, you remember some truth that we've talked about this morning. First of all, submit, 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 submit. Okay? Now, why is this important? And listen, this is the message of the lesson that Ronnie learned, is that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Okay? And so, why is this important? Jude 9 says this, says, yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Okay? We don't know a ton about angels, but archangel is high ranking. Michael has power and authority. But even here, he says, I didn't dare go hand-to-hand combat with the enemy. But what did he say? He said, the Lord rebuke you. Why? Because he recognized that the one that has power and authority is God Himself, not me. And so when you're under attack, it's not about what you can say to the devil. This is why it's wrong with all these false prophets that are out there about you, men saying, well, you just need to say the devil, da-da-da, whatever it is, as if that has power and authority. Listen, the power of authority is not in me, but it's in Him. It's His power. It's His authority. Okay? And so when I'm under attack, then how do I handle this? How do I go about this? Well, first we need to be proactive. Ephesians 6 says this, verse 11 through 13, put on the armor of God, the whole armor of God. Now you may be able to, look at this, stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You go read the rest of that, and it lays out the armor of God. And let me sum that up, okay? The armor of God doesn't come without you being in the Word of God. So proactivity, standing against the enemy, the attacks of the enemy, begins with you spending time in the Word. You can't be vigilant if you're not in the Word of God. You won't be sober if you're not in the Word of God. You're going to struggle to submit to God when you're not daily submitting to His Word, okay? And so proactivity, spend time in the Word. But man, you're spending time in the Word, walking with the Lord, and there's this attack. So how do we deal with that? Let me tell you, this is truth that has helped me. Wake up, all right, man, just find myself in this moment and feeling like I'm under attack from the enemy. First thing I do is I pray. And this is what I pray. I begin to worship God. God, you're good and gracious and kind. And spend a few moments. And there's sometimes it's but a moment. Just tell him how good God is. And then even in that time, then I got a new and a fresh, right now, I submit myself to you. Give all of me, everything of who I am, anew and afresh, totally without reservation to you. So I submit to Him. Okay, so I'm praying. I submit to Him, and then I pray this, God, by your grace and by your power, God, would you give me grace to resist the evil one? Would you resist him, Lord Jesus? Would you bind him away? God, your word says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you, is what the word of God says. And so I pray that back to God. God, by your grace, I give myself to you. And God, I pray that by the power of your Spirit, you resist the evil one and recognize this is an attack. And your word says he will flee. And you know what? Sometimes I have to pray that over and over and over. And friend, I'm telling you, every time, it's not long, and there's a sense of freedom. There's a sense of freedom that I'm not fighting this attack now. Sometimes it's not long, and I'm there again. I mean, I don't learn real quick, and I'm hard-headed and all that sort of thing. There are times that, man, I go a whole day, and it's end of the day, realizing, man, the enemy's just been attacking me all day. But friend, here's what I know. The enemy wants you, or the Lord wants you to have freedom. Wants you to walk with Him. And I know for some of us, again, we're in that squirmy, kind of uncomfortable ground. But friend, I'm fully convinced that my hope and prayer has been this will help you the way that it has helped me. And it's good for us to, in that same passage in 1 John chapter 4, he says to test the spirits, to know. Man, we really do live in a day of spiritual warfare that we need to be aware that the enemy hates everything about you and wants to do anything he can to get you off track. But friend, let me finish with this. If you've not yet surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, the Bible says that the God of this world, talking about Satan himself, takes those who are not believers captive at his will, not yours. The only reason I bring that up is that because apart from a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, we've got no hope. No hope in spiritual warfare, more importantly, no hope in eternal life. And so if you've not surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, my hope and prayer is that you'll do that today. That's the most important decision you'll make. And then secondly, in terms of invitation, man, I'd encourage you this. Maybe you've been struggling. Maybe the enemy's been coming again. Maybe you're in a dark season. And there's just some of this truth that we've learned this morning, that we talked about this morning, that you need to pray back to the Lord. You need to spend time asking God to give you grace and help you to grow. And trust the Lord that He's going to see you through a dark, difficult season. Let's pray. Jesus, you're good and gracious and kind. And Lord, I pray this morning, God, if there's anybody here who doesn't know you, God, that you would save them. God, I pray that they would repent of their sins and place their faith and trust in you. And God, I pray for those that are facing difficult things and hardship and difficult times. God, those that are facing attacks from the enemy, God, that you give them clarity and victory and wisdom in this. God, thank you that you have dominion. You have final authority and all authority. And you have all power. And so, Lord, we rest in you. We trust you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. I want to encourage you to remain in the attitude of prayer. If you want to come and pray, you can come to the front and spend time praying. Maybe you're not sure about your salvation and you want to come and talk to somebody. We'd love to visit with you. Maybe you need somebody to pray with you. I'd love to pray with you. Whatever it is, you be obedient to him. You remain in the attitude of prayer. Pray for one another. If you want to come to the front here and pray, it is open and welcome. You certainly can do that. Well, amen. Well, thank you so much for being here and grateful that you've chosen to worship with us today. And I want to ask our men if they'll help begin to take place so we can take up the Lord's offering as we leave today. Let me just say thank you so much for your faithfulness to give all throughout the year. You know, our regular tithes and offerings are up this year, and so we're grateful that and your faithfulness to give, how the Lord has used that and blessed that, and it enables us to continue to do the ministry right here that God has called us to do. And so very, very grateful for that. Also, thank you for the way that you've given to our Ghana mission trip. We're so incredibly close to having all that we need for that, and that's only possible because so many of you have given sacrificially for that. And so, again, thank you so much for that. A couple things I did want to mention I forgot about earlier. At the desk out front in the foyer area, there is a sign-up sheet. I'll be leading a mission trip to Memphis this summer in July. And so there's a sign-up sheet out there. So just beginning to get those names and have an idea of who might be interested in going, and then we'll have a trip with some more information. There's a little bit of information on that sheet. So if you're interested in going, love for you to go and be a part of that that mission trip opportunity. That will be in July, so the sheet is out front. Also, let's stand together. I'll lead us in a word of prayer, but one final reminder for all of our members, if you'll make an effort as best you can to be back here tonight at 5 o'clock for our business meeting. We have a few items that we definitely need to be able to address and some exciting times, okay? So let me lead us in a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Jesus, you're good, and there's none like you. And God, we thank you for your goodness and grace. I pray that you bless the tithes and offerings. God, help us to use it for your kingdom and your glory. And Lord, help us to be faithful in our giving. Lord, help us to be a witness for you. Go before us and behind us. God, you be glorified in all that we say and do. Lord, we love you and praise you. We ask all in Jesus' name. Amen.